Father, Lord God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your mercy and your loving kindness. We thank you, Father, because you've been kind and you've been merciful to us. We thank you, Father, because you are faithful in all to us. Whenever we come to you, you always show up. Whenever we come to you, you always reveal. Whenever we come to you, you do not starve us of yourself. You release graces, you release life from you. Say, be thou exalted in Jesus' name. Lord, as we go into the class tonight, we ask, Father, that by your mercy, Lord, you will release help for us, even to connect with the mind of your spirit tonight, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray tonight, Lord, that which is in your heart to deliver to heart, Lord, you will release tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that tonight there will be help, Lord, from you, from your spirit, even to speak concerning things you would have us speak concerning in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask tonight, Lord, for help by your spirit, Lord. I've come before you in all meekness and lowliness of heart. Lord, that I do not know how to speak, neither do I know even or have strength to speak. But I come before you in meekness and lowliness of heart, with all lowliness, Father, that by your mercy you would release help for us tonight. Lord, you will give help for us tonight concerning this class in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask for help. Help me to speak as I ought, boldly as I ought, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise. For in Jesus' precious name, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for saying amen. Good to have a feedback. And first of all, I would just like to appreciate again, as the manner of as is, just to appreciate everyone for joining. And I'd also like to appreciate our pastors first and foremost, and their wives as well. I'd like to start by appreciating Pastor Jeff, for the opportunity to take this lesson, this particular class. Thank you. I do not take this for granted. I thank you for letting me take this. Thank you for the grace that is flowing from you as well. I just appreciate you. Thank you for all that you do in Ottawa and to all Ottawa brethren, and as well as your beautiful, lovely wife. Thank you, Pastor Essay. And I'd like to appreciate Pastor Ceci Paul and Pastor Busola. Thank you so much. Thank you, our pastor in Saskatoon. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for all that you are still doing. We really appreciate you. And we love you so much. Also, all our pastors, we love you, Pastor Jeff as well and his wife. We love you too. We love you. We love you dearly. And Pastor Femi as well. We love you. And I would like to just appreciate you as well, holding the fort there in Edmonton. Thank you so much for all that you do. Thank you so much for bearing the burden of our Lord. Thank you so much for, allowing that burden to rest on you. We love you dearly, you and your wife, Pastor Bemi. Thank you so much. We are really grateful for you, grateful for all that the Lord has deposited in you, for us to drink from. Thank you for the sweet taste of your wine for us. Thank you. And I'd like to appreciate my lovely wife that is also supporting me here. Thank you so much, Pastor Tovia. Thank you. Love you dearly. Without further ado, I think we can start. And I'd like to just ask Mahusafen, I'd like to ask quickly if we can have a recap of our last class, and then we can flow from there. So I'd just like to ask if there will be any volunteer concerning life class. Just a quick recap to give us insight into what we learned last week, and we can move on from there. today. Any volunteer? No volunteer. Okay, everywhere is quiet.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
I can do a very short recap.
Okay.
Just to go over, I guess some of the things we spoke last week. I think after Uncle Daniel's recaps, I think we're just looking at just from what I remember about the issue of giving. I guess where it came from. Or the thought, I guess I'll use that word, the thought of giving, because I guess there was that sense of looking through is giving something from the Old Testament, New Testament that people tend to war with and all. But then we saw that even that thought of giving was from, I guess, from before the foundation of the world, in that sense to which God gave his son, right? They say it was even sin before the foundation of the world and all. But it was that sense of God being the first person to give, God being the definition of giving in that sense, that it was obviously birthed from his love. So we saw that I think I won't speak to too much, but generally that side of giving is based on faith and love. So that I think through obviously God giving his son, and his son, that typification, we saw that in Abraham, with Abraham and Isaac, that interesting scripture in, in Genesis, where it says, "Thy son, thine only son," just in case there was any mistake thinking it could be Ishmael or something, just a little joke there. But just to clarify that it was, that Isaac whom he loved. And then, I think there was that point where he was about to slay Isaac, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not hurt the lad, or do not touch the lad." That the Lord, God was confirming. He said that, "Now I know that thou fearest me." And I think using that thou fearest God, sorry. And then you were using that sense that fear there is definitely love. That's where we saw, even with the scripture in Isaiah 11 about the seventh spirit of the Lord. I think the culmination in it in the end was that at the point of that knowledge and fear of the Lord, it's definitely entering in towards love. Because even when we saw in Ephesians 3, that we may know the length, the breadth, the height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge. Definitely, we saw that those seven spirits of the Lord are to develop love. So we saw pretty much just confirming again that, I mean, we even saw with the Ephesians church, about what Paul saw in them was their faith in the Lord and their love unto all things. So there was further confirmation that giving is pretty much birthed out of faith and love. And you said that we should have a heart that, with regards to giving, whatever it might be, that it's just a show of God's life. I know before we kind of I'll before I guess go further and start, you were giving the example with maybe when people give, and with the sense of wanting to get something back, different definitions, different things around, I guess, the way the world has defined giving. Giving is actually selfish in the sense of the word. It is more for gain or whatever it might be. People give for many different reasons that are not really geared towards the love of God. So I think that was just a little sense from that side. And then we kind of spoke towards tithing. And then we saw, tithing obviously as well, was not an Old Testament thing either. a New Testament thing, but there were confirmations by scriptures that showed that those were things that happened in those times. But we saw again, firstly, through our father Abraham, after the slaughtering of the five kings, Chadalaoma,
Yes.
and the five kings, and that, then the priest, who was them, the priest of the Most High God, Melchizedek, then appeared to him, and I think, Abraham gave tenth, he gave a tenth of the spoils, I believe, or I think of the spoils and all. So we
Yes.
saw pretty much that attitude again of tithing and all was even pre the law, pre, and Jesus
Yes.
spoke about it in Luke, in different places where he spoke about, you pay tithes of mint and cummin, but you have neglected the weightier matters of the law. I think faith, mercy, judgment, which we even saw that Jesus himself was confirming that tithing is okay, but there was something he elevated above it. I think was that faith and love, mercy, mercy which stems from, or mercy which gives love, or and faith and things like that. So we saw that they were doing something. They were doing, in a sense, the right thing, I believe, like in a sense of tithing, but not with the right spirit. So the right spirit is by the faith and love, right? So that was just a wonder confirmation for me. And I think we just, kind of spoke about the attitude or things just about tithing pretty much. So with Abraham,
Yes.
and we saw in Malachi as well, and it says that when we are tithing, it is it's like showing that, there was that scripture that spoke about robbing God, that you have robbed me.
Yes.
Where did you rob me in tithes and offering, right? So yeah, I think I think a point as well, we even saw that at the end of the day, truly, I mean, which is some of the things we had spoken about in the first class, that God, or obviously ultimately what we give is our lives. But with the sense of money that we're talking about, because we saw that a lot of the things, like I know you were careful to speak about saying like our lives is are tied to money, but in the sense of just how we spend or how we exercise, or obviously even to the point of our bodily exercise to make money, to earn income and things like that. It is labor in its own self, and there is that, obviously, that which we, so in a sense, our lives are kind of tied to that in a sense. So when we are even giving money and all, it's part of giving ourselves even unto God, right? So obviously
Yes.
we can't rob God and give unto Caesar what is in, we pay taxes, we pay things, we do a lot of things with money. So we can also equally tithe and give God in that sense. But yeah, so ultimately it's just to show that again, that ultimately our souls and our lives, would be what we give unto the Lord. So that's just a little thought from last week, I remember. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. I believe that's Dami.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, sir, Dami. Thank you for the quick recap. Thank you so much. You and Daniel have done us great justice. So, Daniel, give last week you okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for that recap. Before I go ahead, I'll just maybe give an opportunity in case someone wants to also, say something. Anybody wants to add to that or okay. All right. If there is no addition to that, I think we can continue. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. So Sadami, thank you so much for that recap. You captured most of the things we talked about, so that's great. I believe we have some meat into the discussion from last week, so I'm going to continue. We couldn't go further too much into the class, but I believe some of the things we'll be talking today, they're kind of straightforward. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you the praise. They're kind of straightforward, so we might go through them, as quickly as we can, and we'll see where we'll stop today. I'm not too sure if we'll be able to finish, but I'm trusting that we are pretty much close to finishing than we were last week. Okay, so I will just pick it up from where we stopped. So I stopped from no, we were going to discuss, just a bit of the controversy around Titan in the New Testament, right? So part of the foundation that we have in the class is that giving, which Titan is part of it, giving is a life. Giving is a life. Is a life. Let me put it that way. That you can find in our Lord God, Him being the first person to express love and giving, right? Express giving, right? Because it's a life, whereby He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His only Son from the foundation of the world, meaning that He has proposed in His heart, right from the foundation of the world, that He's going to release Himself. Right, raise a man who would be begotten of the Lord, which is Jesus, right? And that man will also be sacrificed. And we see that in example of that in Abraham, because the Lord is looking for who can do the same. Then for we branch into Abraham, right? Which because Abraham was the person the Lord found on the earth as at that time to be able to express giving the way He will give to the world. And as a result, Abraham exchanged his seed for God's seed. We can see that giving is not just something we can just bypass and say it's not necessary. It's a life. And if we find it in our Lord, then it should be something that is part of our life as well. The Lord being the first giver, right? Made it clear, without reasonable doubt, that giving is a life matter. From the example that we see in Baba, our father Abraham, there's a lot that, like I said, I think last class, that this class will revolve a lot around Abraham, right? We revolve around Abraham, right? I think this verse that is put in Hebrews 7:6 says, "But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promise." So, just showing, an example of, where Abraham, tithed, Abraham gave tithe, paid tithe. It's still in line with the slay of the kings that we saw, where Abraham gave tithe in to Melchizedek, whereby showing that all of his descendants, like Levites that received tithe, paid tithe in Abraham to Melchizedek because they were still in his loins, right? Right, for they were still in the loins of our father Abraham when Melchizedek, encountered him. And thank you. Oh yeah, they posted the scripture, so thank you for that. Thank you. I should also appreciate the our team for these scriptures. Thank you so much. I didn't have to say. I forgot. I've actually forgot. I was going to say, we're going to do this the same way we did it last time. But thank you for being in the spirit and picking up the work we are ministering together. Thank you. Thank you so much. So, all of our Bible readers, we are taking a break. Because this style is it's a bit different, so thank you. All right. So as I was saying, our father Abraham, right, is going to be our example a lot around this class, because most of this thing is tied to his example. Because all these things are written for example. So the what the Lord, there's a wisdom of the Spirit that brought about writing of scripture that ensured that things that are written down would stand as a witness in times to come. You know, if the wisdom of the wrote the scripture had not given us examples as Abraham here, or the Lord arranging the way things happen before the law, you know, there would have been too many arguments around this tithing and giving thing that, oh, tithing is not, you know, you don't have to tithe, because it's the law. No, I mean, we see, thank the Lord, the Lord is so awesome that he made sure that in scripture that tithing is way before the example of it in scripture is way before the law. So we thank our Lord for that, for the wisdom. We're going to just, I think a quick recap I'll give will be that in resolving the controversy around tithing, right, one of the things that we looked at is the issue of tithing in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Thank you, Sadami, for that recap, because it's covered that aspect as well. So we saw in scripture where tithing happened in Abraham unto Melchizedek after slaying of kings, right? I know we all, I don't know why we all like talking about Chandala Omar, you know, that Chandala Omar, you know, that name is, you know, always Chadola Omar, the king of Elam, you know, Chadola Omar, that king, after slaying of the kings, slayed Tidal, slayed Amphel, and Arioch, king of Elasar. Four kings with five. So he slayed them, and then he paid tithe to Melchizedek, priest of the Most High God, who received tithes, right? Who received tithe as a sign that the higher is blessed, so the lesser is blessed of the higher, right? So Melchizedek then blessed him. And thank God that Melchizedek is also a priest, because Levites that receive tithes are also priests. And in a way, we'll see where the Lord, also mentioned in the book of Hebrews that those that receive tithes, in the New Testament, they actually do so on behalf of the Lord, that who we're actually paying tithe to is the Lord when we pay tithe, not to the organization. But we'll get there. But just to give us a quick recap, right? That Hebrews, that's what I just talked about, is Hebrews 7:11. Thank you for showing that. So if therefore perfection whereby the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, or what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron, right? So I think the next one says, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertained to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. So in a way, this verse is talking a lot more about in a sense that even though the law or the order of the priesthood in the Old Testament did exist, but it's a shadow of better things to come. That even in the New Testament, we don't, it's not like we're stopping, tithe paying, but we are not stopping that. The practice is still valid because it's a faith practice. So what we saw really in the last class is we're seeing example in scripture that tithing in Abraham to Melchizedek is an example before the law, and of course it also applies in the New Testament, as we see that the Lord makes it mandatory in the or he spoke about it in Luke 11 42. And so we've seen beyond reasonable doubt that, as we've been saying, because one of the things that the Lord, when we started, putting our eyes to understand that giving, tithing, ministering to others is a faith practice. It should be seen from a faith perspective. And that's the only way it will make sense spiritually to a believer. Any other way, it won't make sense, right? It would just be a natural, means of giving. If it's not understood spiritually, just be like you give naturally. It may not be too different from the way the world gives. So it's important that we understand that this is a faith practice. It is not just a commandment, right? As pertaining to the law. Because what most people think is because it's pertaining to the law, so therefore, we're in the New Testament, we don't need to obey that. It's not all about that at all. And anybody that wants to bring that argument is this ends all argument. It's not about the law in itself. So if you bring arguments from that angle, there's no conversation. Why? Because that is more logical than spiritual. Trying to, give logic as to why you should not do so. So what we saw is that example. So resolving the controversy around giving, and I think one of the things that we want to start talking about is why paying of tithe is good for every believer. So we want to look at scriptural reasons why a saint in the New Testament should pay tithe. So if you're a believer in the New Testament, you should be able to pay tithe, right? Without having to argue, about all the necessary. But one thing to understand about tithe is that the pain of tithe is that is that the lesser is blessed of the higher. And when we're looking at that, one thing we should see is that the Lord set give gift to man, right, as ministry to the body, and as a result, in a way, they are set in a position, right? Because they are set in this in a place where they are to receive blessings, right? Because of where they are standing in ministry unto the body. So if you have, pastors and ministries where you pay tithe to, the Lord has set that. And because that is where you are finding pasture, you are being fed, right? Wherever you are being fed, is synonymous, or is we can see it in the sense of the less being blessed of the better, right? Because you are being fed, and when you are being fed, how the Lord set it. And so is that you have minister that minister to you. So they are blessing you by ministering to you. So we can now see that relationship of the less is blessed of the better, right? When we want to, give, just see an example in there, right? So the Lord made it, in such a way that, we always find pasture through minister that he has raised. Now, first and foremost, I know, like I said, we're going to be talking a lot about faith in this, because we can't remove that sense. So when it comes to giving tithe paying is a faith practice, just as we've learned. So I believe a lot of groundwork has been done, which is why I may be able to go faster today, right? Because we've taken time to explain why giving is a faith practice, and tithe is part of giving. So one of the reasons, right? So we're looking at reasons why we should pay tithe, right? Is that tithe is a faith practice. Giving of paying of tithe is a faith practice. Now, and faith practice will only make sense to a believer that is living by faith, or that wants to live by faith, or understand the principles of faith, right? And we know that this is how it should be. Every believer should live by faith. Like how you move, how you become a child of God is by faith, right? Because you believed in whom you've not seen. That is faith in practice, right? So if you did that to be born again, then why should that be removed from paying of tithe? What should that sense be removed, right? Now, anybody that tries to explain it away is just trying to remove the sense of faith away from the heart of men. If you're saying, no, don't pay that, it's Old Testament, New Testament, you don't have to, Jesus has paid the price, is what that thing is doing is removing faith away from the heart of men, right? Which should not be, because it's going to have an impact in the in lives. So it says, so paying of tithe is a faith practice. And because of faith practice, we know that faith living predates the law, right? Law of tithing. It predates that law of tithing. It's not, it's faith practice didn't start by the law. Faith practice started way before then, right? Why? Because we can also see faith practice in Noah, right? Because he believed in the Lord. When the Lord Komahofasimakaranaha, when the Lord called to him, right, concerning the evil that is on the earth as at that time, and he said to him, build an ark, let the people know that the flood is coming, right? Noah could have, ignored the Lord, but he didn't. He obeyed, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. So Genesis 7:5, thank you for bringing that up. So Noah did according unto all the Lord commanded him. So we see here that that is a faith practice in Noah, because Noah did not doubt the Lord. He did according to all that the Lord commanded him. There was no doubt in him. He was not thinking, should I do it? Should I not? He just went ahead, built the ark. He said, time to put all the animals in. He put all the animals in. The Lord shut the door and the rain started, and everyone that did not hear perished. So faith practice predates, it's from the foundation. Faith has been from the foundation of the world. So nothing the world will say should, remove that sense from us. It's a different kind of life entirely, as we've seen. So God, we've seen that life, and then later the Lord gave commandment to the children of, Israel through Moses, right? And part of why we should be paying tithe is that, see, Father Abraham, after Noah, right? After Noah, the next line is Abraham, right? Who received the promise. Now, Abraham lived faith life, right? To be able to offer his own seed, and then he received God's seed, like we've been saying. Now, that practice of faith, right, that was demonstrated in Abraham, is a standard. When I say a standard, means that everybody should live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Because we'll go to the book of Galatians, actually, chapter 3, and that Galatians chapter 3, and then we can read from verse 9, but I would get to verse let me see what verse I'll get to verse what verse will I stop at? I'll stop at verse 11, but so in that Galatians 3:6, 3:9, I mean, sorry, 3:9. He says that even as Abraham believed God, okay, sorry, so then they which be of faith, let's start from that six. I don't think it's a mistake. Let's start from that six. Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. So next, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So they're saying that those that are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So they're not saying that that the children of Abraham are just the Israelite anymore. No, according to the Spirit, the children of Abraham are those that are living by faith. So know ye therefore that they which are of faith. So it means if you are of faith, the way Abraham is of faith, then you are the children. Why? Because Abraham is the father of faith. Then If a father's faith means he's the forerunner, is the forefront of faith when it comes to God kind, right? He lived God kind of faith to believe God for God's seed. Now, if we are following after, because later we see that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, that righteousness is important because righteousness is God's life, right? So, and if it's God's life, it's a practice of God's life. So, Abraham, what do we see is that Abraham actually practiced God's life on earth. Now, they're now saying that those that are of faith, the same faith Abraham practices, then you are the children, means that you are following after children of Abraham. You are following after the faith that has been fathered. So the faith has been fathered by Abraham. Therefore, any other that would go after that kind of faith is a child of Abraham, meaning is a child of faith. So that's what I'm seeing here, is a child of faith. So they which be, so verse 7, so knowing the, then verse 8 now says that, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the alien through faith. You see everything just faith, faith, faith here. Preached before the gospel unto Abraham, right? Saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So it is, let's go back to that 8. So, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the alien through faith. So the alien will be justified through faith. Preached before the gospel, they preached the gospel of faith to Abraham because Abraham heard it, right? And when he was able to fulfill it, then he said, oh, indeed shall all nations be blessed. Let's go further. So he says, so then, and I said, so then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So anybody that is of faith, just like Abraham, will be blessed. He said, are blessed with faith. So we will be blessed with Abraham as Abraham was blessed. So Abraham was blessed. Abraham was blessed. And because he was blessed, anybody that will practice faith like he did will be blessed as well. All right. So let's go further. Verse 9:10 says, so for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Okay, 11 now says that, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For why? Because the just shall live by faith. So the just shall live by faith. If we are justified, you should live by faith. So they are saying here that if we are seeing all these examples of faith, it is clear that paying of tithe is a faith practice, is something, and if it is faith practice, it is useful. I think that's the point. Faith practice, it is useful both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. It is universal. That's what I'm trying to say. So it is not secluded to an era. It is universal, because if the law is a shadow, then pain of tithe is coming from the origin. So if the law given to Israel is a shadow, and in that shadow there's giving them pain tithe, then pain tithe is also there. The original pain of tithe is also there in the original. So meaning that even in the New Testament, which will consider the original, there will also be pain of tithe. Why? Because faith practice is a standard of God's life. It's a standard of life. So you can't have an argument around it is old, therefore Jesus has come. Jesus, is also the one telling us that the just shall live by faith. Amen. So we've seen clearly the pain of tithe. So that's why we should pay tithe, is a faith practice, right? And just to give you a further example, I know we've talked about this a little bit. Thank God that, we took time to give that foundation, so I'm able to move a little bit faster today. The faith practiced by Abraham, right, the father of faith, like I said, so that faith is gotten by revelation from God. Like we said last week, that faith, right, is a life matter, and Abraham gave tithe to Melchizedek by faith. Right, is a faith, is he learned it by revelation, is a revealed life unto Abraham. And who revealed it to Abraham? Is the Lord. is God. So it's a revelation from God that God gave to Abraham, and as a result, he demonstrated God's life, right? And then this was, the tithe was paid to Melchizedek, the priest, right? So we see clearly here, right, that paying of tithe is a faith practice, right? Is a faith. So when it comes to giving, paying of tithe is a faith practice that God gave to Abraham. So we shouldn't be looking at paying of tithe from just a logical perspective. You know, sometimes when we're saying logical, it can also be just take scripture and, you know, without revelation, just take it and just align it. Okay, therefore, right? Because it's pretty simple and straightforward to actually, you know, you'd be surprised. It's pretty simple to just take scripture and see that in the Old Testament there's a law of tithing, and in the New Testament there's not, because Jesus have abolished the law, you know, has fulfilled all the law. When you say abolish the law, pretty much Jesus fulfilled the law, right? Because he did not come to condemn the law, he came to fulfill it. So we can just say that, oh, since Jesus has, you know, rounded up the law, we're in the era of grace, therefore tithing is no, that's a misunderstanding of life in God, or even the intent of God. If we have an understanding of God, that we'll see that it's not just black and white like that. The intent of God is to install all life in men. Therefore, it will give partner his life. So when Abraham paid tithe, it is a revelation of a life in the Lord, right? Which also brings about some kind of discipline to the heart, right? That you must have. It's a discipline, right? Okay. Now, let's now read. Okay, I think I've mentioned the aspect of no, the New Testament coming does not abolish the law. So I think that is in Galatians 3:17. I think that there's a scripture there that we can read to confirm that, and I think that scripture is very important also to what we're saying. It says, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ. You see, I said that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, comma, the law, comma, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. So one thing that we can see clearly here, right, is that, see that faith life. Now, because when you're talking about the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, now you have to tie that to the seed Abraham received. That is the wisdom here. You have to tie it. And thank God it is in Galatians, because later, I believe Paul also Kifahanomara, Leifahasosaniman, later explained that the seed that the Lord said unto Abraham, that in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, that seed is Christ, right? So in a way, they're seeing that the promise of Christ to Abraham, right, is also tied to covenant. So when I say that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, right, that covenant has been before the law, right? So still working on the premise that Abraham, right? So now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. You see the promise. And when you talk about promise, you have to come over, talk about covenants. You can't talk about promises without covenants, right? So you talk about promises, you talk about covenants. So seed where the promise is made, right? So where there is promise, there's a covenant. So we can say now to Abraham and the seed where the covenant, right, made, he said not. And to seeds, so it didn't say it's to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So this confirms, right, that verse 17. So thank God for scripture, because that 17 now makes sense when he says, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, because we've established in verse 16 that there's a seed, right? Right, which is Christ, which Abraham received. Right. If you go back to that 16 again quickly, you see where it says, Galatians 3:16, Let's bring that scripture back, please. Thank you. So now to Abraham and his seed, where the promise is made. So to Abraham and his seed. So to Abraham and his seed, which is Christ. In a way, this promise is made to Abraham, confirmed. So the covenant confirmed in Christ. So this is confirmed in Christ. So Christ is the ground of the covenant, is the ground of the promise unto Abraham, right? It said not to seed, as of many, but of the one that seed, which is Christ. So let's go further. So if the promise, say in blessing, and we know that promise about that seed, kahosophene matter, right, is that in blessing I will bless you, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed. So that was what they said to Abraham, that it will be blessed. Then, and it's so funny that, it's so funny that most of these things happened after the paying of tithe. Right? It's so interesting that actually this promise actually happened after the paying of tithe unto Melchizedek, right? But because we know that paying of tithe unto Melchizedek, right, was before the test on the mountain of Moriah, right? So we see that the covenant was confirmed before of God in Christ because the seed is involved. So the law, which was 430 years after, so you're now saying that the law which came after 430 years cannot disannul that promise, that you make the promise of none effect. So meaning that the law does not remove things that has been before the law. The law can't come and remove that. So anybody that's saying that tithing is only an Old Testament law does not understand what the old, number one, does not understand what the Old Testament is. Because when you're talking about the Old Testament, it's not Genesis, Revelation. Or sorry, it's not Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. That's not Old Testament. It is us that call that Old Testament now. The Old Testament is talking about the Testament of old. And when you are talking about the Testament of old, what you talk about is you will arrive at Moses, because that is when the Testament came forth. So Genesis is not Old Testament. It's part of the book that we call Old Testament. But Genesis is not Old Testament. Genesis is a landmarks of life. What you see in Genesis, so when you now see Exodus, Leviticus, they are it's still it's even at that where Leviticus, where the law came, the superseding lesson there is life generally, right? So you are seeing landmarks of life in the in what we call the Old Testament, but the actual Old Testament has to do with Moses and the law, right? And the testament given to Israel. So that testament has not It did not exist in Genesis. That testament did not exist in Exodus, right? Or partially in Exodus, right? Partially in Exodus and then Leviticus. But you wouldn't see, right? You wouldn't see the Old Testament law in the beginning, because the Lord God had to bring forth that law as a result of the fallen life on earth generally, right? As a result of the fallen life on earth. Why? Because that law wouldn't have even had to come forth if Israel was able to receive all of God's life on that mountain, Maru Safana, around that mountain. If Israel took the law in their heart, there would not have been any need to write it upon stones. This it was because of the hardness of their heart, it had to land on a hard surface. And when it did, they didn't have to be following it No, doggedly like that. But if not, it would just been a law in their hearts. You just find men paying tithe naturally. There won't be any argument. There won't be any, oh, you should do. No, you just see men doing it. Why? Because they will do it the same way Abraham found revelation to do it. So it's not about Old Testament, it's about life. That's the summary, right? Whenever we enter scripture, we just have to talk about it a bit. So we see clearly what I'm saying here, that the reason why we should pay tithe is that it is found after a life revelation of God that has been given. Abraham downloaded it, right? And therefore, the law cannot just come and just remove that. It's something that is way before the law. So that is why, one of the reasons why we should pay tithe. And secondly, now looking at Abraham, thank God for this book of Nehemiah. Thank God for this book of Galatians. It helps us a lot. This chapter 3, we'll move around it a bit today before we move further. So one of the reasons why we should also be paying tithe is that because we've seen the example in Abraham. So clear, right? It's clear as an example in Abraham. Right, and the scripture already admonishes us that we should, that Galatians 3:7 that we read, 3:9, actually 9, but we can read from 7 to 9, right? Can read from 7 to 9. It says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham, right? So if we are of faith, we have the children. We say, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. In thee shall all nations be blessed. The nine says that, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So this from here, say this will be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. This is admonishing and encouraging us to follow after the example of our father Abraham, the father of faith, right? So follow after Abraham, the father of faith. That's what the scripture calls him, right? The father of faith. So the scripture admonishes us to walk in the footstep of Abraham, right? So what that means is, if you're going to follow after his footsteps, then we should pay tithe like Abraham did. Then the issue of tithe the issue of tithe paying shouldn't be something we should be arguing, because it's not about law. Now, anybody that is talking about law, is the Old Testament, New Testament, is really, like I said, is trying to remove life from men. It's breaking once that argument lands and it kills that pain of tithe, is it has killed a life in the soul. There's some kind of response, right? That is, it is just dead. We are dead to it. Some things we can't, because that thing is a faith life. And one thing about faith life is that you don't tamper with faith life, because faith life has the ability to fetch. That's one thing about faith sense. Faith sense can fetch life currency. So, whatever faith is, one thing is that men should not kill it. Anywhere there is faith, it shouldn't be killed. So removing this sense from men is in a way killing faith. It is damaging faith. Amen. So I think part of a scriptural example, right, that tells us that we should follow after Abraham is that those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. So we should follow after. I think that is Hebrews chapter 6, yes, verse 12. Can we read it? Hebrews 6:12. Okay, 11. Let's start from 11. Let's start from 11. It says there, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Let's go verse 12. It says that ye be not slothful, say, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Who fakautos fine massa, who through faith and patience inherit the promise, right? One person that we can definitely point to is Abraham, is through faith and patience. If we're saying, oh, there are many, well, who again? the person you can talk about that inherit the promise through faith and patience is Abraham. 11 was talking about Sarah, because Sarah is Abraham's wife. Then verse 13 says, let's read that verse 13. I think gives us some insight. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. Next line says, by himself, okay, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. So you see, this is surrounding around that same promise we read in Galatians 3. But it says that be followers of them, who? Abraham, right? Who through faith and patience inherit the promise. So if the scripture admonishes us to walk in the footsteps of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise, then it means that the issue of tithing should not be an argument. It should not be. And if anybody comes to you and say that, it's Old Testament, just tell them, okay, it's a life matter. It's not about Old Testament, New Testament. That's the end of all argument. Honestly, that's the answer. The answer is life. Life answers all, right? So that's one of the reasons why we should pay tithe. Scripture admonishes us to follow after the footsteps of Abraham, who paid tithe. And how he paid tithe is by revelation, right? Abraham paid tithe to Melchizedek once by revelation. Now, because the other argument that men can bring is that since Abraham only did it once, why do we have to do it every single time? Right? Well, and the answer is very simple. The reason why Abraham did it once was because he saw Melchizedek once. Right? And there was no priest for him to consistently pay tithe to. Right? There was no other as at that time. If Melchizedek was coming daily, monthly, daily, anytime, that's that Hebrew 7:2 says, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, king, which is king of peace. Yes. So that's Hebrew 7. We can hold on to that scripture because we are going to read it, right? So we're going to read that Hebrew 7. We'll read verse 8 to give us into some insight, but for now these two is okay. So you say, so we see there clearly that Abraham paid tithe to Melchizedek because he only saw it once, saw him once. It means that if he was able to see Melchizedek multiple times, he will be paying tithe. Because how do we know that? It's because of the kind of life that is in Abraham. That's how we can tell. Abraham lived by faith. And the issue of paying tithe was a revelation, because there was no instruction in scripture that told Abraham, go and pay tithe. So for him to pay tithe, it must have arrived in Abraham by revelation. There's no other way Abraham could have seen it, right? It is by revelation. It was revealed to him. That's why he paid the tithe to Melchizedek. Right. Now, if you want to bring that now into the New Testament, we know now, right, that in the Old Testament, there was no priest for Abraham to continually, consistently pay tithe to. Right. But in our time, we are expected as children of God what to pay tithe from our income as often as we earn, right? Because of, it's unlike Abraham that only paid tithe once, because there was no priest consistently on this in this time. Like I was saying earlier, that the Lord have representatives. The Lord Jesus, our high priest, have representatives on earth. Yeah, when he gave gift to men, right? If you read from Ephesians 4:9-11, that's you can see where. We say, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, right? 8 says, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. So he gave gifts unto men, ministering gift unto men. And when I say ministering gift, I'm not talking about just ministering to men, ministry gift, the fivefold ministry. And he gave some apostles and some prophet and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So these are representatives of our Lord Jesus Christ on the earth, because this is the gift of Christ to men. Right? Christ gave gift to men. They are representatives of our Lord Jesus. And they are here, right, on the earth. Right? But they are here on the earth. So therefore, we have who we can pay tithe to consistently. Now, if Abraham, was seeing Melchizedek consistently on the earth, we are very sure that Abraham would have consistently tithed to Melchizedek. And like I said, it's because of knowing the kind of man Abraham is a man of faith. And having learned this life, he will do it. If it was revealed to him by revelation, he will continually do it. So the one the Lord now gave gift unto men, we have representatives we can pay tithe to. So we are encouraged as children of God to pay tithe from our income as often as we earn. Right. Now, why is this important? Is because I think in a way, based on last class, right, we've been able to, in a way, just explain how our income is a factor. When I say factor, is in a way a natural factor of our life, because we see how our life is tied to our work somehow, right? And the way we spend it somehow is our life, right? That is involved in earning income. Really, it's our life that is involved in any income, be it because you are going to work physically, right? Because when we say life, we just say, oh, spirit, no, your life also expresses naturally, right? So in a way, we see clearly in wisdom how working and earning income has factored into our life, right? Somehow. So if we are paying tithe, it means that in a way, it's our life we are giving to the Lord, right? Just from the sense that we got from last week. But summary is a show, also it's also a show of love towards the Lord, right? It's a show of love towards the Lord, and it's a sign that we can actually give our life to the Lord. Why? Because if you really look at it, one of the most important thing to man on earth now, one of the most important is money. Actually, let me just say one of the most important, right? For family must fund, right? Because everything else is tied to that in a way. Your house, you have to get your apartment where you are renting to stay, you have to pay for it. And different things that you do naturally is tied to money. So it is, and that is why somehow it's almost like also a kind of deliverance, because we can be too tied to money that we can't release it, right? So that's another way of being disassociated from the love of money. It's one of the ways if you can give. So, but it says tithe here, to tithe our income, right? When we tithe our income, is we are actually practicing faith, and in a way, we are giving to the Lord out of our life in a way, right? So this thing I'm saying, right, don't try to use natural sense to interpret it, please. You have to use faith sense. Like I said earlier, when we talk about tithing and these things, it has to be seen from a faith sense than a natural sense. If you try to understand it naturally, we are just on a long journey of no return, right? Because you can never naturally land at a conclusion that makes sense. If it will make sense, it has to be a spiritual sense, right? So that Hebrews 7:8, just to buttress that we have people, right, on earth that the Lord has, that Ephesians 4:11 to 12, right, 7 to 11, right, that we already give gifts to men, right, just to buttress that point that they are gift of Christ to the body, right, that can receive that. So you'd be wondering, okay, all these things, all this fivefold ministry, how do I know that when I give that to them, it's Jesus that is receiving it? Now we can see in Hebrews 7, right, verse 8, that in when we actually pay tithes to ministers, we're actually paying tithes to the Lord Jesus. It says, and here men that die receive tithe, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witness that he liveth. Right? And here men that die receive tithe. Means that in the Old Testament you have men, right, that die, receive tithe, but he receiveth them. So who is the he? Is the Lord. So the Lord is receiving the tithe. of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. You see, so it is the Lord that is receiving this tithe now. Now, for and I thank the Lord, the route the Lord took us to explain a few things in the first two classes. This statement that I'm making about the Lord receiving this tithe should make sense if we think about what the Lord taught us concerning the conversion of our carnal resources to a spiritual resources. So you'd be wondering, how can Jesus receive money? It's because the Lord has the wisdom of conversion. When you give, is a faith life that you are actually living, and that thing is converted spiritually. It's not a natural thing. It's not a sense thing. It's a spiritual practice. So you can't understand it naturally, because every argument is that, oh, you're paying tithe to pastors and all that. So how do you know it's Jesus? What do you mean it's Jesus? It is Jesus that receives them. It is not our, you know, most people try to argue, and then they waste money and all those kind of, you are not to judge them. Who receive tithe is the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus knows how he's going to request how every servant serves, right? Because the Lord will judge. Eventually, the Lord will judge every unprofitable servant, and every profitable servant will pass through the judge. All of them will pass through the judge. So, but most men, they want to play the role of Jesus, right, to pastors. So that's no men go out of order, right? This thing that I'm saying may not make sense to anybody, because even as I'm saying it, Satan is fighting me, right? Try to play, okay, play nice. There's nothing nice about it. It is the truth. When you pay tithes, right, and the minister of the gospel receive the tithe, in reality, Jesus is the one that is receiving that tithe. This makes sense spiritually, but not naturally. It is Jesus that is receiving this tithe, because it will eventually get to Jesus, right? Like we see in the case of Cornelius, right? Since all his alms, right, has, you know, come up as a memorial, right? So for all of his givings, right? And when he looked on him, he said he was afraid and said, so that's Acts 10:4, right? And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." You see, thine alms, thy prayers and thy alms. So that alms there is giving, right? He was giving, right? Maybe it's offering that he was giving, but all of that. In this case, we're talking about tithe, but it's the same principle, right? It's the same principle. Faith, no giving, no tithe is one of the ways of giving, right? It's one of the type of giving that exists. So there's a wisdom of conversion, how the Lord converts the money spiritually, right? When tithes are paid, there's a way it's converted spiritually that Jesus received. Jesus, I can assure you, when you pay tithe, Jesus is receiving them. Even though you are paying, you know, physically into a church, right? Or, you know, when you're being fed, this tithing, the Lord receiveth them. The Lord receiveth them. So there's no, and the only way to make sense to you is to understand it by faith. You can't understand it naturally. Jesus is receiving them. And you can't understand spiritual things, you know, by logic. So, and this brings me to the core, right, to the core of the message right here about tithing, right? If we understand it, the core of the gospel is that we should lay down our lives, right, and take up the life of God, right? Being crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son who died for me, right? That's Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the core of the gospel is that we lay down our lives and we'll pick up that life of God, right? Now, if we are to be led by the Spirit of God until we lose our lives, right, then the issue of 10% should not even be an issue of, you know, discussion. 10% of our income, right? which is not even, imagine 10% of our income, which is not even our life like that, right? It shouldn't be an issue for discussion at all. It shouldn't be an issue. All right, because we are, if we are to be led by the Spirit until we lose our lives, right? It shouldn't be a problem, right? I think we can read Romans, this Matthew 16 that's come up second time. Let's read. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Thank God, because I believe we read the scripture too in our first class, right? The aspect of giving, right? Is that when you give, you are losing, right? And then you are gaining. So the core of the gospel is that we lose our life and we pick up the life of God. If we can't even give just 10%, and also and in reality we are to be led by the Spirit of God until we lose all, then if the Lord is leading, if it's just 10% we are to give our income, then it shouldn't be an issue, right? Right? It shouldn't be an issue at all. At all. Shouldn't be an issue at all. And why shouldn't it be an issue? In the early church, men were not giving 10%, they were giving all. Right? In the book of Acts, chapter 4, let's read Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to 37. I believe the Lord, we read this part also when we were, you know, looking at the aspect of fellowship. Yes. Right? When seeing the fellowship life, it says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. So this life, the Lord will help us to embody it fully. Why? Because what you have is supposed to be for your brethren, right? For you and your brethren. It's not just for you alone. So this mind is in the early church, right? That it's not just 10% they were giving. Right, they were giving all of their belongings, everything that they loved. They gave it lovingly. So 10% shouldn't be an issue at all. So why should 10% be an issue? Just 10% of our income, right? I wonder how many can even obey this law. This law now. This no, no. This law, this example now. And they gave all that they have. I mean, how many of us can give all that we have now and just say, you know what? Everybody owns this thing. I'm selling it, and I'm, you know, right. Of course, in this day, if you sell everything, you have to have a place to stay, right? So, you know, there's wisdom there. I'm just giving an example, just a joke, right? But just to do that an example, right? Because of day and age, in that time when they were selling everything, right? How many of us can have that mind now to just sell everything and give to the brethren, right? Rather, you know, would try and, you know, just hoard more as much as we have. That's the attitude these days. But in the Old Testament, they gave all. Sorry, in the book of Acts, the early church, they give all, right? So, if we cannot give 10%, if it's just 10%, right? That verse 47, we can say, having land, okay, they sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So they sold their land, they brought it, all their belongings, they sold it, right? So, if we can't now give 10%, right? How can we give our lives entirely? Right. If we can't show faithfulness by giving 10%, it's going to be difficult to give all. Anybody that is, you know, having issue giving 10% will have difficulty giving all their lives, because it's just a token, a show of faith towards the Lord that, you know, we are wrestling with. So we shouldn't, you know, debate the giving of tithes, right? Because this particular aspect is a faith life, and if it's a faith life, it's not something we should fight at all. We shouldn't fight it. Thank you, Jesus. So I am moving further. I'm trusting God that by God's grace, I know how to kafina mara, and we still have some lessons here. So we may have to continue this class, but let's continue. So we've seen the reasons why we should pay tithe. So the next thing we are looking at is just the things around our heart disposition and attitude concerning money generally, because This is tied to money, right? This issue of tithing our the 10% of our income is tied to money. So in general, there is a sense that we should have concerning money, right? Especially as children of God, there's a few things we should keep in mind. One is the poverty mindedness when it comes to money, right? One thing that we should understand is that the scripture talks about blessed are the poor in spirit, right? For that's Matthew 5, the Beatitudes, right? Matthew 5. So blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, right? So I think sometimes we can start thinking like that. Say poverty mindedness, that is not is in all I put is say poverty mindedness in the name of being righteous is wrong and is very unscriptural, right? One thing we should understand is that being poor or being rich in either cases does not endear us or bring us closer to the Lord. Because some souls would argue that they have to be poor, and some heart will argue that now the Lord wants us to be rich, right? Or some will even leave the Lord because they feel that following the Lord, they will have to be poor. But that's not the case. The scripture says, blessed are the poor in spirit, not blessed are the poor in money, right? It is spirit that they're talking about. So poverty-mindedness is not scriptural. In the name of righteousness, it's not. The Lord does not want us to be poor, and we should remove that mind. I'm sure most of us don't have that kind of mind here, so thank God for that. And if we do, we can quickly remove that mind, please, that is only poor minds that should inherit the Lord, or that should inherit the kingdom of heaven. No, we should not have a poverty mindset at all in the name of righteousness, right? So, and we should understand being poor or rich does not bring us any closer to the Lord. And this is important. This is important, right? Because sometimes you can have, even cases whereby you have issues where you'll be asked to give, and it's out of fear, because that's another thing. Giving should not be out of fear; it should be out of love, right? It should be out of love, and that's part of the thing we talk about, right? But so poverty mindedness is unscriptural. We should not have it concerning money, right? Being poor does not bring you closer to the Lord. Being rich does not bring you closer to the Lord. What is important is your heart, right? And Proverbs 11:4 says, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. You see, what is important is not riches. It is not being poor. What is important is righteousness. Right? So it says, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. And this debt here is, of course, we know it's Satan that kills with debt. Is the debt, from Satan's life that, righteousness can deliver us from, especially the one we talk about, the righteousness of God, right? So, no, riches does not profit at all. Neither does being poor, right? And also, one of the things that we should, put away from us is, the according to I like the way the book put it, said the Laodicean mindset, right? So there's two things we should be aware of. I said two things. Most important is the poverty mindset, and this Laodicean one is the have it all mindset, right? Which is Revelation 3:17. We can read it quickly, just to see the kind of mind that the Laodiceans have. It says that because thou sayest, so this is what the mind is saying: I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So these are all the things that the Laodicean mindset is saying But if you look at it, it's saying that he's rich and have an increase with good and have no need of nothing. Have no need of nothing. That kind of mindset concerning money, we should not have that kind of mindset. I have no need of nothing, right? I'm rich, increase with goods. Because this kind of mindset, what it does also is it keeps pursuing after money, although it is subtle. This mindset pursue after. Why? Because when it says, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, right? In reality, the such a soul is wretched and miserable. Right? That mind, when the mind arrives at this kind of mindset, why? Because it believes it has it all. Right. And when we say we have it, and when the heart is saying that it has it all, it is saying to the Lord, I don't need you and I don't need your life. That's what that is saying. Right? So we should not have this. It's unscriptural, right? In the name of prosperity and wealth, having this kind of mindset of just acquiring riches and just increasing goods, just pursuing after money. That mindset is also wrong. The Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. So, and this is important because we should not chase money the way the world goes after money. And of course, we'll talk a little bit about that also, right? In the book. I don't know if I'll be able to get to that today, but maybe I will because it's actually not too far from here. The reason why I'm saying that is because when it comes to financial prosperity, right? Because this latest century is talk about prosperity in a way, right? The first one we talk about is poverty. This one is talking about prosperity, right? In a sense, because the Laodicean church, right, they believe they are rich and increased with goods and they don't need anything. They feel they believe they are, you know, they have it, they have no need. So in a way, the sense can be saying, because I have no need, I don't have to, maybe because the reason why the mindset could be that it is giving to get. You know, that's another wrong thing that the heart should have, that the heart should not have, rather, right? Because you can be giving out of a selfish sense. And that's what we talk about in the last two classes, that giving shouldn't be for selfish reasons, right? Because there are men that believe that give, it should be given back. So when men are giving, it's for the purpose of getting. No, there's a way the world also interpret this in the body. When I say in the body, as children of God, there's a sense we have that. That's all that is sense that was that came into the body at some point in time. And that sense is give so you can get. Right? And of course, a lot of people were giving. And the funny part of this is that because you know it's faith life, when you give, sometimes you actually do have people that give and the Lord provided for them. But it came. There is a sense that came around that kind of faith practice. It was meant for a faith practice. But Satan, in a way, added things to that sense. And what is it? It is many people that were rich were now giving because they want more money. Even the ones that were not rich were giving. Now, you now have the sense also whereby you will see where. You even hear expressions like the world also understands that when you give, you get back. So therefore, be giving, right? It's a practice, it's a law that when you give, you get. It can be attached to a selfish reason. And that should not be the case. Men should not give selfishly, right? Just because they want to amass wealth and all those kind of senses about giving. So give so you get more. When you give, you know, the Lord will supply. That's the sense men are using to give that time, right? And it's not everybody, just some, right? That and I remember that teaching. And the reason why I'm telling you because I remember the teaching, because I heard it at some point. But somehow, you know, there's a way the Lord protect us. You know, I wasn't too I still give at that time, but it wasn't from that sense, because somehow something inside of me was not okay, but I still give anyways, right? But was because not it doesn't mean that we won't give still, right? We give because we are giving to the Lord, we're not giving to men, right? We give to the Lord. So I gave, but it was not from the sense of amassing wealth, even though there was some kind of sense in that. So you don't give for wrong reasons, or say you don't have need for anything, therefore I won't give. No, it's all wrong senses, right? So lastly, concerning money, any giving that is not faith and love motivated is proceeding from a wrong heart frame, right? We must not give because we are lusting after things, right? This, I believe, thank God for what the Lord has taught us, in the last two classes, to establish the aspect, the importance of faith and love, especially when it comes to giving, because giving is a faith practice and it must flow from love, right? It must flow from love. That's one of the things that the Lord established sincerely in last class and in last two classes. So the first class, I think it was a lot about faith. Second one was also about faith, but also more the grounding of the love aspect of giving. That giving must proceed from faith. It's a faith practice that should flow out of love. There should be love motivation. Any giving that is not faith and love motivated always proceed from a wrong heart mind or heart frame, right? It is always, especially if you are giving without love, giving grudgingly. Any heart that is giving grudgingly is definitely not giving from a love aspect. I think we should read that chapter and verse again in the book of Corinthians that we read in our first class, Safana Mahanima. I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, right? Is it 2 Corinthians 9? I think it's, yeah, it says, every man according as he proposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. So these things that we're seeing is that, thank God, the scripture says, for God loveth, is love, a cheerful giver, meaning that it is love for love. Anybody that is giving cheerfully is giving out of love. You must give cheerfully. I want to say you must give it. I'm not forcing you to give cheerfully. I'm just saying you must give cheerfully. Why? Because when you give cheerfully, you are giving from a love heart. It is a heart of love. Cheerful, as we've seen, is tied to loving joy. Right? Joy in the spirit. And there's no way you would be joyful in the spirit and there will be no love, because joy is also flowing out of love. Right? Wherever you see joy, you will find love there. Because joy, in a way, is an expression of love. When you are joyful to the Lord, you can sense your love for the Lord. When you are cheerful, you're just singing with songs and psalms and hymns in your heart. Is a you can perceive the fragrance of love. So when you are giving cheerfully, what you are actually doing is you are giving from a love heart. Anything that is not cheerful, right? Definitely you will know it is not out of love. It can be out of necessity, or it can be a grudging. When you are giving grudgingly, is maybe the it's like you are being coerced and forced to give. Right? So giving is ought to arise from faith and love. So you give by faith, and it should be flow. And especially when you are giving to your brethren, right? What it shouldn't give. If you find a brethren in need and you find it in your heart that the Lord is moving you to give, Right? You do it cheerfully because, and when you do it, know that the Lord is receiving it. One thing, again, is when you give to others, who's receiving it is the Lord. When you give to brethren, who's receiving it is the Lord. Now, the question you should now ask is, should the Lord receive your sacrifice? Right? So the reason why the Lord loveth a cheerful giver is because the Lord is receiving it. If God is love, he receives things of love. Right? Now, the Lord would love a cheerful giver because they are giving out of love. So when you are giving, think about who is receiving what you are giving. Even though it's going to do a lot for your brethren, or it's going to do a lot when you give to the body or to the church where you are attending, right? Or you give to ministries that is feeding you. These kind of things, right, is the Lord you are giving it to. Is the Lord. So when you are giving, you should always have in at the back of your heart who is receiving this thing you are giving it to. So forget who you are, who is being done to. Maybe you are helping the need of a brother. That who is, even though the brother benefits, the person that receives your giving is the Lord. Now, the scripture that is coming to mind was when Jesus was saying, "When I came to you, you receive me not. When I was thirsty, you did not give me water." Right? I think we should read that scripture. And I think once we read that, I will be looking at rounding up. I think a few things we would look at just to. Oh, wow, there's still a lot, but we'll see that the Lord would help us to go through them quickly. I was still a bit faster. Today, so all right, so let's read it. We have moved to Matthew 25. Okay, can we read from verses before 40, Matthew 25 before 40? I think it's the last part. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, because that 40 is the last part when Jesus was telling them that, okay, that's what, finalize what I'm saying. But yeah, so Matthew 25, 35 says, "For I was hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in." And then the next says, "Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me." Next verse. "Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and feed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink?" 38. "When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee?" Then 39 now said, "Oh, or when we saw thee sick or in prison and came unto thee." Then 40, which is the final. "And he said unto them, and the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." So this gives a sense, saying that when you do it unto my brethren, unto brethren in Christ, who is actually receiving this is the Lord. So that's the sense, right? So when we give, we should give out of faith, because faith pleases the Lord. One can please the Lord. Hebrews 11, possible to please God. So if who you are, so you now have a sense that if you are doing it to the Lord, it must be of faith. Why? Because it is what pleases the Lord. And two, it must flow out of love, because who's receiving it is the Lord. And God loves a cheerful giver. So you please the Lord, and the Lord loves you. Right? That's what I'm seeing here. So giving should be of faith and should flow from a love heart. heart. So giving should always be motivated by faith and love. That's what I'm saying here. So the next thing that we should be looking at is what the Bible teaches concerning giving and receiving. So we've seen why it is good to tithe. We've seen the kind of heart we should have concerning money, and buttressing the point that we've been talking about. Like I said, one of the things that we'll understand, if at all we didn't take anything out of this class, there's one thing that we must take out is that giving is a faith practice, a faith life. Right? And we can see over and over and over that as the Lord is buttressing all these things in what we have been discussing. So, and the last part of, when it comes to money, what our heart should be, the last point here is talking about our heart disposition and attitude, right? Is that when it comes to giving concerning money, right? Giving of money should also flow out of a faith, should be of faith, and should flow out of a loving heart. Our heart is, it should be love motivated, not giving for selfish lust, right? Now, and I think that's the part I'm also, I should buttress, right? Also a bit. Now, I think I already mentioned it, but just to buttress this again, is we should not give because of lust, right? When I say lust, is you are giving to get. You should not give. Maybe you are giving because you believe if you give, you get back a big mansion. So you are sowing a seed. So you don't sow seeds in lust, right? You must not give because of a lust, because of lust, right? Don't give because of lust. If you are lusting for something, then you are giving, right? That or there are different ways this thing can show forth, right? Because maybe you are lusting for something, and you believe if you give, it's going to buy you favor to get that thing. That's still it. That's still lusting. You are not giving. That's the world gives in such a way too. That is the way, is the way of the world, and that's not a faith or love motivated kind of giving. You must not give out of lust at all, right? You shouldn't give out of lust. Anything that is flowing from lust should not be the reason why you are giving, right? And that's just what I wanted to buttress a little bit before we finish the class today. I know I still have about 6 minutes, but I think I don't want to pick up the class in an awkward position. Right, so I think I'm going to pause here today. Then we'll start looking at what the Bible teaches concerning giving and receiving, right? And one of the first points, which we'll continue from next week, is that it is more blessed to give than to receive, right? It is more blessed to give than to receive. I can't talk too much about it because of time. As we have to start praying then to round up, and then I can pick it up from the right. I believe this sense is something important. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I perceive that the Lord wants us to under to meditate on this thing. Is as it should be a life. It should be a life. How do I put it? It should be a life code in every believer. You must believe it, you must live it, you must embody it. Why? You must think that's it is a sense. It is more blessed to give than to receive, because this thing will provoke us to love. But we'll see it in our next class. It is more blessed to give. You can start thinking about that until next class, but the Bible tells us that it is more blessed to give than to receive, and we can see that in the book of Acts 20:35, right? Let me see if we can. So our Bible, Acts 20:35. So I'll read it. Okay. we have resumed. Okay, say, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So we'll start from there next week, and we'll see how it is more blessed to give than to receive. And anybody that has practiced it will see. We'll see actually the flow of the blessing that comes from giving than receiving. All right. Can we just begin to thank the Lord for today? Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise. Thank you for your mercy and your loving kindness. Thank you, Father, for grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you, Father, for how you have helped us tonight to give us sense concerning giving. Lord, we thank you for the little that you've the little you've shown us today. Mzona, 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 mzoni, mamima kova semzandi kavanemetian. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for former fina fisofesi katalian dabian. Msumiamu, msumiamu, msumiamima kufa fene feli 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 fa sose fema. Msofa fema ina kausa. Em sofa fema ima kosa feni fila fera fatu fene me susa fenia. Em suna, em suna, em suna mamati fene. Let's thank Jesus for tonight. Let's thank Jesus for tonight. And let's thank him for the reorganization of our mind concerning giving. I believe the Lord is working on our heart and our mind concern. Is that is an orient is an orientation again. Forgiving is the Lord. I know we all know about giving. We've been giving faithfully. The Lord has been helping us, but I believe the Lord is establishing spirit for giving. Oh, it's an orientation again. Thank you, Father. Can we just thank Jesus for that, for this mercy? It's a great work of mercy. Father, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you. So me hante venim so varahami ante gan. Junior, 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 Mia Hufa Causa Zeti Kalida Barabatia Tansima, Mzuta, 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 Fina Kufina Fufina Mufa Fafani Monzita Kaima, Msune Mae Fefe Nemo Sotoli Fanima Sina. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise. 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 Be thou exalted, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for how you've helped us even to go through this class today. We say, be thou exalted in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that as we continue, we want to meditate on these things you've said, that you would establish the spirit of giving, all the spirit that you've intended to release, even through this class, in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, Father, that you will encourage our heart to grow, even in these things that you are saying, in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, Father, for every heart, every heart, every heart that is looking at you and has seen something in what you've said and has desired it. We ask, Father, that the grace to bring it to pass in every heart you will release in the name of Jesus, that all the desires of our heart concerning the life that we are seeing, even as you are teaching concerning giving, we ask, Father, that you bring the grace for to move into them in the mighty name of Jesus. Sana mahale vesina. Thank you, Father, because you've answered our prayers. We give you all the praise. For in Jesus' precious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everyone, for joining.